You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
KC got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. Dukes and Bell coming up. We will talk about what's going on with the Hawks and why are you not believing. Last night, another good win for the Hawks, man. And you look up, tomorrow's a big game against Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. No trade last night, but we'll dive in and we'll talk about Clint Capela and all the things that are going on with this Hawks team. 5:40, we'll go around the yard with the Braves, give you the starting lineups tonight.
Got some news about an injury list, including some star players, brother.
Yeah, man. I don't want to say at a crossroads early in the season, but we're going to find out a little bit more about our team because of what's going on with the Braves. So stay right there. Lots to get to. Obviously, today, everything in the NFL is about the second pro day for Justin Fields. Whether you think he's going to go third to the 49ers, whether you think the Jets are bluffing with Zach Wilson and you believe he's going to go there, or if he falls to four, if we stay at four and he comes to us. I want you to hear Steve Weiss from NFL Network. He joined us yesterday on the show and talking about why the Falcons must draft a quarterback this year.
I do. I mean, and look, and that's they've got to draft a quarterback somewhere along the line. I mean, they just got to start to replenish that position. You know, and let's include Kellen Mond from Texas A&M. I don't know why this guy isn't talked about more. He's a heck of a player as well. So, exactly.
I think so. Carl and I talked about it because I followed Jimbo in Texas. That offense was, I don't know, maybe that was on Jimbo, but sometimes it just felt like the governors were on that kid.
How many quarterbacks have we said that about? Right. I mean, how many of these guys coming out have we said that about? And they've transitioned. So, look, if Arthur Smith is the genius, then he's supposed to be, and coach him up. And that's, you know, that's the other thing that we tend to forget so much about these quarterbacks. So all these offensive gurus being hired, if they're really the real deal, coach some of these guys up. That's why you were hired. That's why you were chosen over better leaders and coaches maybe on the defensive side of the ball to coach players like that up. But I would have no problem with them going in any direction because they've got different holes they can fill. And again, that's why being at four is a really sweet spot. If somebody wants to come up and get in, let's say the Broncos at nine come up, you switch spots, you get a future one, or you get a number two or number three in this draft, fine. Then you've got other assets that you can use this year or you can compound them to use next year if you have to come back up and get a quarterback.
So, again, that's Steve Weiss, his thoughts about the Falcons needing to draft a quarterback. Where you draft him, Mike, is really the bigger question, right? Because, again, do we turn down, and we've both been saying this, you can't turn down additional draft capital. If somebody's going to give us two-thirds or two seconds and a third and a future first just to move up a couple of spots, we can't turn that down.
I'm with you. That's why I still love the idea of just trading down, whoever's going to come. I don't know how far. Maybe there's a cutoff point in the minds of some Falcon fans. I know some guys are still set on Justin Fields. By the way, let me crack a beer, by the way. Oh, yeah, I deserve it today. Hold on. Ah, that's our Hey Man Ale, by the way, in case you're watching us on Twitch. Sorry, man, I want to start that at 5 o'clock, but you got on a roll. But here's the thing, Carl. You trade down, you can still get a quarterback. As a matter of fact, the guy that I like, that Davis Mills kid from Atlanta Christian who went to Stanford, Have you noticed how he's creeping up now? He's in the end of the second round of the draft.
So here's what's crazy. You brought him up 2 months ago, maybe. Maybe it was longer than that. And people went, who? Because They didn't know he was a local kid. And now you're seeing his name more and more. So, yes, it is interesting that maybe Davis Mills does end up, and I'm not saying with the Falcons, I'm talking specifically about where his draft, where he's going to end up in this draft. It was probably, you know, I had heard third round when we started talking about this. Now, to Mike's point, he's creeping up. So that is interesting. I will agree with you.
But, I mean, again, but whether you think – and, again, I'm not sold, and you – and that's why I was asking Steve Weiss about Kellen Mond, because, you know, you and I, we've watched Texas A&M. I just don't see it from him. Maybe there's untapped potential, as Steve said, how many times it's the coach's fault. I mean, Jimbo did a pretty good job with Jameis. And remember, Jimbo stuck to his guns when even A&M fans were saying, are you sure Kellen Mond is the guy? Remember at the SEC Media Days a couple years ago, Kellen's like, I'm the best quarterback in the SEC. He never lived up to that.
No. And the thing about last year's team, you know, people will say A&M got hosed out of the college football playoff. That was an experienced football team with a lot of returning starters on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the whole thought was, well, Jimbo, if you're going to do it, this is the year because you're going to have a bunch of guys. You got your quarterback coming back. And they were good. They weren't great. You know, everybody lost to Alabama. I get that. But in those games, they didn't even look competitive, and that's the thing. So I'm not sure what I make of Kellen Mond. I've talked to a couple of guys there at A&M about him because I thought he would get more run.
Right.
Even his own people, and this is not me, even his own people were like, I don't know what kind of NFL quarterback he'll be. He may be a guy that had glimpses of brilliance in college, which he did. But that I don't know if that translates to being a big-time quarterback in the NFL.
And it's again, by the way, sorry, just to double down on that, and like Jamie Newman, I have guys like, well, what about Jamie? If I had been able to see Jamie Newman with a Georgia uniform on, it might have, you know, who knows, we might be talking about him in the top 10, but we never did. And I don't, again, he had some moments against Wake. You could say the same things about anybody else who's considered a middle-round draft pick, a quarterback. You say about Jamie Field. I just don't feel it like you know, and I just never got to see Jamie Newman do his thing.
It is our Falcon Report. As always, guys, brought to you by our friends at Domino's. It's going to rain this evening, so if you're out and about in traffic, just know things may be slowing down a little bit, but you could always get home and order Domino's.
Yeah, man, then use that Domino's pizza tracker, which is awesome. Like a video game. The kids can enjoy it, Carl. Watch your pizza get made and then sent directly to you. Three topping pizzas for $7.99. Just one of the many deals when you go to Domino's.com.
All right, a couple of things going on around the NFL. One of them is with our Falcons, and we brought this up earlier because we need help on special teams. And when you get a return guy like Cordero Patterson, who can return kicks, do special things on special teams, you go, okay, so we know today they were meeting. A lot of people are saying it's imminent that he's going to sign with the Falcons. Mm-hmm. They signed tight end Ryan Becker yesterday. But this is what we call stretching the dollar, right?
Right.
You're basically trying to find those pieces that you think fit, not costing a lot of money, and we're continuing to add to our team. How many of these guys, and we've tried to introduce you to all of the new faces, but I don't know how many of these guys ultimately make the team, but not only that, how many contribute to this team during the season?
And again, some of these guys, you know, whether it's a backup tight end or linebacker, that's part of it. I mean, we don't know. Barkevious Mingo might not make the team. It's a great name, and he's been around the league.
Say it with your chest, man.
Barkevious Mingo. But, I mean, and Cordero Patterson has had some big, I think he's had like 8 touchdowns. That we looked at the numbers earlier as far as punt returns. It'd be great to have some of that spark. I'm excited, you know. I mean, we're adding bodies on a budget, ballers on a budget. Still waiting to see if there's somebody else's. Squid Billy has been pointing out that's going to be a mid-season, like we're talking June, cap casualty for this team, or somebody with, you know, something's going to happen with the contract. And you mentioned earlier in the show, Carl, it wasn't the elite brass of the Falcons, but it was coaches, wide receivers coach Dave Brock, Charles London, the QB coach, and one of their scouts today to watch that second day of Justin Fields as Fontenot and Arthur Smith. I got to see his first pro day. But, I mean, we've got a presence, as do the 49ers and Patriots, apparently.
Yeah, Broncos were there, too.
And by the way, I'd love to swap with the Broncos. And does Trey Lance intrigue you?
I don't know, Mike.
Patrick Surtain at 9, and then that'd be awesome too.
If you draft a corner there, that's instant impact. He's going to affect your defense just like AJ Terrell did. You come in, boom, you're playing day one. The whole Trey Lance thing, and you know, people are saying he's not a project, but then everybody I'm talking to is saying, well, he might have to sit a year. Well, what is that?
Well, I had a factoid, and I got that's why I should cut and paste when I'm looking at this stuff in the morning before I've had my coffee. But they had a number about how many quarterbacks have been taken without having 20 starts in college.
Okay.
And guess who one of those was, by the way? Mitchell Trubisky.
Believe it. I believe it.
You know, so, and Davis Mills, I believe, would fall into that category because he's got a very small sample size at Stanford. So there is some risk involved. I just because in baseball, go apples and oranges, a guy like Fernando Tatis gets a half a or $340 million, Carl, after 143 games. Do you apply the same logic from college to pro? I don't think you do. I think you've got, I think you, if you feel you can coach him up, but again, if a guy's built like a, you know, like a stallion and he can throw it like a mile, then you make that work, I guess, is the logic behind a guy like Trey Lance.
Yeah. It's to me, Trey Lance is even more intriguing just because of some of the unknowns for me in diving into his information. And, you know, again, pro days are pro days. I look at the body of work with 20-2. That's the record for Justin Fields. I look at who they played. I look at how he played in those big games, and I'm just more impressed. But it's going to be this is why the draft is going to be so much fun. Real quick, couple of the news notes from the NFL. Browns are signing Jadeveon Clowney.
Finally got a deal, right? Yeah.
Yeah, one-year deal, $10 million. Jadeveon Clowney is the most overhyped guy in the last decade. And I say that with all due respect, guys. He's never had a double-digit sack year. Not one. Got drafted by the Texans when he was 21 years old in 2014. Was there for five seasons. Then goes to Seattle at 26. We're not talking about 36. And then ends up in Tennessee last year where he played eight games. And, Mike, how many sacks did he have last year? Zero.
How much
at
impact
27
did he
years old. So, right. You know, here's the crazy thing for me. Jadeveon Clowney, and now you go, all right, wow, the Browns, man, look at them. They're loading up. Opposite of Garrett, we're talking about Myles Garrett, who's a beast, by the way. Myles Garrett is definitely proven to be worth all the money. But that it sounds good, but it doesn't scare you. And here's what's crazy. Our old buddy, Tack McKinley, signed with the Browns thinking he's going to get some real run. Well, they just signed Jadeveon to a $10 million deal. I don't know how much playing time Tack's going to get. He's going to be a rotational guy.
But again, let's be honest. Tack's got to make the team. They make it. Look, they look at the Tennessee Titans. They had Vic Beasley. They're like, what the? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the interview? I guess I forget who the defensive coach was, but basically said, what the have we got here? So, yeah, I mean, Tack's still got to prove it. He can get it going. Maybe just be, as you said, a backup and he's rotational. But, yeah, look, Jadeveon Clowney, he was the big name. The second name was Dante Fowler. Guess what? The two biggest free agents in football last year as far as, you know, defensive side, let's be honest, produced zero for their respective teams. And, that I mean, obviously what I'm talking about with Dante with us.
Yeah. Oh, just overrated. Yeah, I mean, plain and simple.
Just because you're the biggest of a free agent class doesn't mean you're an elite player, especially when you take away a guy like Aaron Donald playing next to you.
Yeah, but I just think now you look at his career, and this is what we should be talking about. Jadeveon Clowney, okay, first year, six sacks. You would have said, okay, rookie year. Then it should have went to 8, 10, 10, 12, 14. There should be that progression, Mike. There's been none of that. He doesn't get after the quarterback, man. It's just a misnomer, and the numbers don't lie. So I the Browns on paper look really good. They were a playoff team last year, but to me, that doesn't scare me. I need to see Jadeveon Clowney come on and have his first double-digit sack season. Hey, man, let's give you a chance to win some money. Oh, wow. Salsa. S-A-L-S-A. Text it to 72881. That's 72881. $1,000 will go to one lucky winner. Nationwide entries, guys, but one winner will be chosen. Message and data rates apply. And remember, listen to 92.9 The Game all day. We'll give you chances to win $1,000.
Salsa. I once worked for a man whose nickname, Carl, was Salsa.
By the way, how did he get that nickname?
It was last name of Saltzman. So,
Salsa.
I made it up, cha-cha. Anyway, go to 72881. Text Salsa. We want to give you what that. We want to give you money. I feel like Alec Baldwin and Glenn. We're looking to give you money. So take it, man. Text Salsa to 72881.
All right, guys. Coming up, strong arm story of the day. And I got to give a big shout out to one of the places that is carrying Hey Man L Watermelon Lime as well. But here's the thing. Hawks fans. What's it?
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys, let's talk about our Atlanta Hawks. And, Mike, last night you talked about it. Atlanta United was on, and the Hawks and the match in that game flew.
Yeah, and United did a great job. We'll talk more about that coming up at 6 for your Five Stripes fans. But the Hawks, Carl, just keep on winning for Coach Nate.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm feeling all this negative energy, which, as you say, what's the word you guys use? Cesspool on social media?
Twitter is a cesspool.
Yeah, I feel some of this negative energy, and I'm thinking to myself, what are you guys talking about? This team's competing without seven guys that are key players on this team. And not only are they competing, it's not like, well, you know, gee willikers, we felt good about the loss. They're winning. So, I mean, I don't know, Michael. What
they
is
won eight of their last nine. They're winning on the road. When's the last time you had a Hawks team that had a winning record on the road? Okay,
it's been a few years.
Right. Carl, I watched this game last night, and here's the thing. I guess maybe because people, I don't know if it's about the star power because we don't have the stars out there.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, and again, Trey was in a ridiculous McDonald's getup, and we get him on the show. We'll ask him about what the hell he was wearing last night. But if you didn't see it, who came to work? Well, the usual suspects, man. That means Clint Capella with another double-double, 21 boards last night. Bogdanovich, 5 of 8 from 3. Red Velvet with some great plays, 3 of 6 from 3.
4 seconds to go in the quarter. Ball knocked away from Siakam. He shoots baseline and hits with 6/10 of a second left, and that'll be the end of the first half. Wait a minute, they got it to Kevin Huerter. He laid it in. Oh my God. Solomon Hill threw it down the floor. I don't know if it's going to count or not. I think it will. Yes, it was. Kevin Huerter scores.
It was the one assist for Solomon Hill, and it was basically Duke Kentucky all over again, except nobody in the building up there in Toronto.
Yeah, it was a crazy play. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, I'm just throw it up, and we got lucky. But, Mike, you're right about Capella. And, you know, the thing for me is, what's it going to take for you guys to buy in? We've said all along this is a playoff team. Were we convinced 7 weeks ago? No. But that's why they play the season. And now, as the season has progressed and you see some of these guys getting in rhythm together, Bogey's continuing to show up, you know? So, Gallinari, I mean, I'd like for him to be out there as often as possible. But, you know, according to Sarah K. Spencer, she said he, along with Trey tomorrow, they are questionable. Now, I think they play because, again, that game's on TNT, as Steve Holman pointed out. And I do think they end up playing, but that the rest of these guys aren't. I mean, we're still without Chris Dunn and Collins and Hunter and Reddish and Snell. So there's still a bunch of guys out, but look how this team's competing.
They're winning, guys. I mean, look, they're 5 games over .500. They've gone through the first off. There was the big minefield of the West Coast swing. They've been banged up. John Collins isn't even out there. Yep. Cam Reddish, we're hearing that he's progressing slowly but surely. Really don't know when we're going to get Huerter back. But the other guys have stepped up. We're waiting to see when we're going to get something from Bogey. Bogey has come up big, and I'm glad we paid the money because that guy has been money. You know, and Trey is going to get better when he gets out there because Nate has got things cooking. You know, a guy hit me up on Twitch and a couple guys on Twitter, we can't hang with the Nets. Well, yeah, Durant and Harden and certainly, you know, Kyrie Irving, that's a pretty impressive combination. And I would love to see John Collins bulk up a little bit for that next contract to give it a little more push around, or less push around in the low post. Capella can't do it all. But can we at least get to the playoffs first, and then we can argue about what happens if we win the first round?
Yeah.
I mean, that negative crap. Okay, I don't know. The Nets have got pressure on them. They've got to prove they can coexist in the playoffs without somebody's feelings getting hurt or Durant getting into another Twitter squabble, you know, or Harden pounding the ball into the ground at the top of the key. We don't know.
Yeah.
Coach Bud doesn't know how to win the big game. We'll get a chance to see them coming up. You know, let's be real. And the Sixers, unless you believe that they finally got the right guy, that Doc Rivers can straighten out all those, you know, malcontents and idiots. I mean, I know I'm talking about your boy Joel Embiid, but that's a real matchup battle for us. I get that. Can we at least win the first round and get in the playoffs, which we didn't get last year, and then next year we can build on this? I mean, Carl, I hate you. I'm with you, bro. I don't know why. Because we're winning without the stars. Mm. We should be hypothetically better when the stars get here, right?
And that's the thing. The team's only going to get better. So, I mean, what's it take? And for guys, I just want to point this out. And you're going to say, Duke, you're crazy, man. You're dumb for saying this. Nobody thought the Detroit Pistons in 04 were going to beat the Lakers because they had Kobe and Shaq and Fisher and Rick Fox. Wait, I'm not done. Horace Grant, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Byron Russell. They were loaded.
Right.
And they got to the finals. Everybody said, Pistons, man, they're going to get swept. And instead, it was the Lakers. So I hate that whole conversation. Oh, they're going to. Yes, technically, they have guys that have won championships. I get that. But this is why they play the game. I'm telling you guys, we're going to be a problem in the playoffs. Simply because, just like with the Nets, we have guys that can make plays off the dribble. And we've got shooters now surrounding Trey. And here's the kicker, Mike. Adding Lou Williams allows actually Bogey or Gallinari to be off. Because if one of those guys is off, or God forbid, Lou is off, you have backup now. You can play a guy 15, 20 minutes and not worry about the scoring falling off. So this team's going to be an issue if we get healthy. And to me, that's the biggest thing. Mike between now and the start of the playoffs, because I need to have at least, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 games right. with these guys all back to feel good about it. We can't just roll into the playoffs and everybody's healthy, and then now you're trying to find that continuity. That's right. when you get beat.
Again, last night, guys, a road game. They have a lead. They're basically in control with about 4 minutes to go. And then I'm like, who is Flynn? Who the blank is Malachi Flynn? Nobody as knew. Steve Holman said, and that interview's on at Odyssey.com. Steve was dropping bombs today. Bang! So anyway, this guy Malachi Flynn, he was 6 of 13 from 3 points, but everyone seemed to go in the fourth quarter. Finished with 22, even had one in the cylinder that he shot like falling out of bounds. So it got down to, at one point, a one-position game. And then I'm like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, oh, it's Hill. No, who was it? Who was on the line? I'm trying to think who took the shots last night. I was like, well, he's got to be a decent free throw shooter, right? And then I was like, oh, well, maybe not. And we made it interesting last night with a couple of free throws, but it was good when I think got it done. He was a 3 of 6 from the line. I think if you're a point guard, shouldn't you always be above 75% from the stripe?
So.
Well, but the bottom line is, even with all that stuff I just mentioned happening, they still found a way to win. And all the guys that are sitting going, yeah, Lloyd Pierce got done. I don't hear any of you guys squawking now because Nate's a professional basketball coach. Nothing personal with Lloyd. This team was not responding. And whatever is happening right now, the backups are playing with poise. This thing is cooking, guys. If you're not paying attention, I don't know what you're not digging, because this team has been fun, exciting to watch.
Now, on top of all of that, Stukes and Bell will go around the yard, tell you what the lineup's going to look like tonight for the Braves.
Big injury news, too, Braves fans. Hold on tight.
Yeah, man, and we gotta get some offense going. We'll get to that coming up. On top of all the things that Mike just said, Clint Capela should be the defensive player of the year.
Right.
Now, I'm not just saying that because we're here in the A, and oh, Dukes are being a homer. He's had more effect on the game for the Hawks this season than anybody. Trey, JC, anybody. Because he allows you defensively to make mistakes, and he cleans them up. This team, without him on the floor, okay, gives up almost 7 more points a game. Those are the ones he's missed. When you talk about third in blocks in the league, he's got to be in consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. Guys, he's first in rebounding, and you go, well, that don't matter. Oh, yes, it does. Second chance points, putbacks. He's affecting the game more than anybody else, and I just think, Mike, his name has to be mentioned. This is who he's been all year. I don't expect this to fall off. So if you're talking about, well, what makes the Hawks really good, Clint Capela. I want you to hear Nate McMillan on Clint Capela talking about how he plays.
Well, you know, I think to take the next step, which is what we're trying to do, you need a center like that. He has experience. He's played in big games. He's done a really good job of, defending the basket.
That's key, man. I mean, 36 double-doubles is almost automatic. 10-10 every night. He's going to give you more points.
But he got dunked on in a losing effort for the Hornets. Oh, my God.
See, yeah. That's, you're right. People get caught up in that.
Oh, by the way, I shut a guy down so hard last night on Twitter, man. I flexed hard last night on Twitter, Carl.
You flex on him? You flexed on him?
I totally flexed. This guy's like, yeah, if this was an Atlanta player, Duncan, you guys in the media would be. I'm like, no, no. And I went right to the S-bomb. I go, I don't give a blank about that. I go, I'm trying to win playoff games and get in the playoffs. I go, who cares? Who freaking cares?
Yeah. I know you guys probably like, yeah, y'all clowning now. Y'all tripping. No. I don't really. I really don't.
Here's what I said. I go, bro, I don't give a blank about dunks. I went there, Carl. I go, seen a bunch. Just want my team to make the playoffs. The fact they blew a 17-point lead and were then down 8 with the second team and came back to win trumps a dunk that doofuses want to blank one out to. How's that sound?
Yeah. No, that's real good. Did he try to flex back on you?
Let's see what he said.
No, he went away.
No, there was nothing there.
Yeah, he went away. Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Guy says, but he just says, I hate the FCC won't let us have cursing Mike Bell on the air. I really feel like that would give Atlanta sports stations the green light for what we have to deal with.
Listen. Satellite allows you to do that. Whenever I go on satellite radio, I have to catch myself because I'm like, can I say that? And they're like, hell yeah. I'm like, oh. Well,
no, but I mean,
say some other stuff.
But you and I, we visited that topic. I was talking to Andy Bunker about it yesterday about it, too, because it just. I get it. Yeah, it's a dunk. It's okay. It's a big moment. But unless, what's the context? Was it the dunk that changed the momentum of the game? Was it in overtime? Was it, did somebody foul out in the process? What happened? No, it's just a guy made a dunk in a losing effort to a team that just leapfrogged them, and they're falling out of the playoffs right now. But guys want to sit there and act like it's the greatest thing since Evel Knievel jumped buses.
Clint Capela, guys, defensive player of the year. You heard it right here on Dukes and Bell. All right, coming back, we're going to talk about the Braves. Max Fried. Oh, but there's other news that we've got to tell you about. Stay right there. So what happened first and foremost last night? Bad pitching. Max Fried was bad. One bad start doesn't make a career, and that's what I'm going to chalk it up to. But, Mike, there's more news with Max Fried and injury, isn't there?
Yeah, man, 10-day DL. And this is something that you and I were, you know, we were talking about this last night, texting back and forth about the Braves game. He just doesn't look the same, right? And I know the first game you could argue that that was arguably his best effort up there in Philly when he was kind of scuffling. But the stuff that's come out that talking about, you know, this year maybe the adjustments he made in the offseason, maybe thinking about pitching to contact, which again, I don't want the bat on the ball. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. But the Braves hope Max Fried only misses one start, says Dave O'Brien. Since there are two off days in the schedule on both sides of next week's two-game Yankees, it's possible, says Dave, he could be slotted back into the rotation before it goes through two full times. He'd be eligible to return on April 24th, which would be the eighth game after he went on the IL today. Again, from Dave O'Brien in The Athletic.
All right, so Tucker Davidson is coming up. That's who will probably fill that start. But it depends on how this rotation is going to work. But that would be my guess. And here's the thing. There's a bunch of things right now, as our poll is asking you today at Dukes and Bell 929, that I think we should all be concerned about. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're freaking out and the season's going to hell in a handbasket. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means, okay, where are we and what we thought we were and where we would be right now. And I'll give you an example in just a second. Mm-hmm. And versus what we're actually doing. Tonight's lineup, Acuna, Freddie, Ozuna hitting third. Freddie back in the second, you know, second spot. Travis d'Arnaud, Albies, Swanson, Austin Riley at third base tonight. He's hitting seventh. And then Ender, because the other injury is Christian Pache, who is out on the injured list for 10 days as well. Tightness in his groin. And he ends up leaving the game last night. So this is now, Mike, we got to see Ender, and we hope that Ender's back comes alive. But, guys, we're not drawing walks. And more importantly, with our batting average at .218 right now, okay, that's the third lowest in the majors. Who's number one? On base percentage, it would be the Dodgers. Oh, yeah, remember right. The Dodgers. Those guys hit. They rake. That's why they won a World Series. Right. So the offense right now is lacking. I'm not overly concerned that it's going to turn around, but okay. You know, you can't just keep thinking, well, okay, Acuna's going to carry us.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, Ozuna's got to get rolling. You know, all the other guys you just mentioned, we've talked about it. You know, and some guys didn't like Freddie being moved up in the – I don't know what Braves fans, where you're at. It's 11 games. Now, again, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I just don't freak out as much as I used to. I mean, remember the old joke, Carl? Hit the panic button.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, if we get swept by the Mets, okay, and that's because that's everybody's, oh, the Mets, everybody's, remember Brandon Nimmo? I think everybody's a little jealous of us. Okay. Well, we'll see. One thing we know for sure, the Phillies' bullpen moves are better. Right?
Yes.
The Nationals, we should have swept them. You know, they were banged up with COVID. That's one is tough to get a read on. The Marlins, whether they're good or bad, they're always tough against the Braves. I think we all agree there. But the Braves generally do handle them. It's a four-game series. We need Charlie Morton to not suck. How about an eight? Could you imagine, Carl, could you imagine a major league pitcher going to the eighth inning? I mean, seven innings will do, but to give the bullpen a rest. One thing for certain, all the things which we thought were strengths are right now, it's like topsy-turvy, bizarro world, you know, with the Bravos. So,
yeah.
And of course, Braves fans, and I'm not trying to crap on it. I wanted Duval back too, but again, they sometimes other teams give you more money and the other guys say it's just not worth it. Because where was Duval going to play anyway? You're going to put Acuna in center and Duval in right? That was never going to happen. It was supposed to be Pache's time to shine at some point here, right?
It was. And that dilemma was one thing. The pay was the other, you know? So I'm happy for Duval. I'm not happy he's beating us,
right.
But I'm happy. And here's the thing, Braves fans, we knew he could hit. This is why you loved him. So the fact that he's hitting against us shouldn't be a surprise. Professional hitters are professional hitters, no matter where they go. And he's such a nice guy, but I hate to see him do it to us. Poll question is, what is your level of concern with the Braves starting pitching? That's at Dukes and Bell 929. 35% of the folks said very concerned. Slightly concerned, 50% of the folks who voted. And no, not at all, too early, only about 14.8%.
Well, again, I like to see Smiley hold on to leads, right? You know, he had a small sample size that they rewarded him with. Ozuna needs to start raking. You know, we've talked about, you know, I mean, it's just – this team, and I said this to Carl earlier today, we were talking about it, maybe we'll be, it's not going to be fun for Braves fans, but maybe we're going to be a slow burn like the Nationals were 2 years ago. Took them a minute to get cranked up.
It did. I would ask you
this question. Weren't hitting in spring. We weren't hitting in spring training. If you were nobody was hitting in spring training other than, you know, Kung Fu Panda, and then Acuna, as you said, the only guy hitting now.
One guy asked the question. I'm nowhere near as concerned about any of that, but is bullpen an option? And I'm going, okay, are you concerned about the bullpen? Here's the thing about our starting pitching. To Mike's point, you know, this amount of games in, you're talking about basically two starts for everybody. But what do you know about the starting pitching? What do you know right now about the starting pitching? And right now, I think there are more questions, okay, especially with Fried going out. And, yeah, he only missed one start, knock wood. I hope that's the case. But what do you know? And right now, you kind of go, all right, Charlie Morton, he looks pretty good. Smiley, he hadn't looked the part. So, you know, Fried struggled last night. We just assume that these guys are going to come back off a great season last year and build on it. It's not that easy. And, Mike, we still haven't seen Soroka. Soroka could come back, Mike, and it could be four or five starts before he looks like himself again.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, everybody assumed these guys were going to roll. That's why I said, you know, is it another opportunity, but is Kyle Wright ever going to get another chance to show that he belongs in this deal? Ian Anderson can maybe carry these guys. I mean, but right now, the guy who's supposed to be the stopgap and the guy that should be the guy – every team's got one of these guys, right? Now, when the Braves had Smoltz and Glavine and Maddox, by the way, it's Greg Maddox's birthday today, way. Greg Maddox is 55, four-time Cy Young Award winner, Hall of Famer, and David Justice turns 55 today, by the way, for Braves
still
fans.
Still one of my favorite Braves. He was, man.
Hey, win a ring, hit the home run, Stoop Halle Berry. That's a pretty good year. But
all this about Soroka.
Please, you get John, Fricky's hitting it pretty hard, man. Yeah. He had Fricky's on the cush. He doesn't know where this is going to go. But anyway, I just, and you said about the walks. I'm with you, man. They're not walking. They're not taking walks. On base is brutal. Seitzer, the hitting coach, told Dave O'Brien, it's not like we haven't had a whole lot of love as far as putting balls in play. I mean, look, I get it. I've seen enough. I don't want to sound like my, again, two times this week, Carl. How many? I don't want to sound like my dad. But it's too early to freak out. There will be a time to freak out. If they're 10 or 11 games out by the All-Star break, then we can all freak out. Yeah. But right now, there's too much talent on this team, and Alex Anthopoulos has shown the ability. It's not, remember, guys, do not, and don't blame Alex. He has to work with a budget. I mean, they could give him, you'd think every once in a while, they'd give, you were a few more pitchers away from going to the World Series. You would think 1 year, Carl, give this guy a blank check. They don't operate like that. So give Alex the credit, though, because he will find guys by the trade deadline if this continues.
404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. The other thing we're not doing, runners in scoring position. We're only hit 188. That's not good enough. You know, this is a 270 team last year with runners in scoring position. We were clutch. And so all of these things add up to L's. And right now, we got a three-game losing streak. So let's hope we can get one tonight. Let's hope Charlie pitches well, and let's hope that this offense and this lineup can come to life. All right, big news from the NCAA coming up as part of our top three at 6. We'll talk about Atlanta United advancing to the quarters as well. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.